play action for Bahar. Nice pocket to the end zone. Kiki Chisholm, did he catch it? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Houston. And they go to him. He tries the left side. He likes it. Sprinting for the end zone is Mark Thompson and getting there.
Magoo. Plenty of time. Now he rolls. Buying more time. And Magoo looking for a receiver in the end zone. It's caught with a touchdown. Davion Davis bought about 8 seconds scrambling around. Now third and 10. Kukus has pressure off the edge. Fires into the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown. It's Corey Coleman who broke loose. Forget about the double team that time.
Here's Bethel Thompson. Dixon makes the adjustment. And there he goes. Touchdown Breakers from the 21. Love looking for it all. Got it. Trey Quinn. Touchdown Panthers.
The middle and in this time for the touchdown. Chipping away and chipping away. And Kareth White finally delivers the touchdown for the Showboats. First down. Prukop to the air. Looking to the end zone. It is caught. Alonzo Moore with the touchdown. What a toe tap by Alonzo Moore, his fifth touchdown grab of the year.
Welcome to Generally Speaking, the New Jersey Generals pregame show for week 9. I am your host, Angelo Fioris, on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Welcome to the show. It all comes down to this. For the New Jersey Generals and the rest of the USFL, for that matter, we're through 80% of the season and absolutely nothing has yet been clinched or settled. Each of the 8 teams has a path to the playoffs if they win their games over the last 2 weeks, or maybe get a little help depending on who you are. But for New Jersey, it's clear. Win 2 and you're in. That washes away the previous 8 weeks of struggle, of heartache, of questioning oneself. It all is there in front of them for the New Jersey Generals to grab a hold of this opportunity and win their way into the playoffs. Before we get into all the permutations and everything that needs to happen throughout the league, let's look back on what took place a week ago so we can understand exactly why we're sitting where we're sitting on week 9 with nobody clinched. Week 8 kicked off in Canton, where the Houston Gamblers paid a visit to the Pittsburgh Maulers in a matchup between two teams heading in different directions. And this game was essentially a microcosm of how things have gone for both teams all year. The Maulers held the lead 16-6 through the third quarter and even had a 16-13 lead with under 10 minutes remaining. But the Gamblers stormed back behind Mark Thompson and Kenji Bahar to take the lead, while Pittsburgh had an opportunity under 2 minutes to go to take the lead. But kicker Chris Blewett missed his field goal attempt from 41 yards out, and the Maulers go down to defeat. They are 2-6. They were on life support a week ago. Now they're barely breathing, trying to find a way to double their win output for the season just to get into the playoffs. For Houston, on the other hand, they are 5-3. They are tied with two other teams in their division and trailing Birmingham by one game, with the deciding games of the South Division all taking place in Memphis in weeks 9 and 10. The capper on Saturday was the Philadelphia Stars and the Birmingham Stallions reacquainting themselves with one another, rematching from last year's championship game. And it was kind of a similar affair. It had everything that you expected. It had offense. It had big plays. It had a late comeback, and the Stallions came out on top 27-24. This was one of those games where one of the teams unfortunately had to lose, but it does not diminish either of their standings. The Stars, despite the loss, still hang on to first place in the North Division, facing New Jersey this week, and the Stallions with the win take a game lead over the 3 other teams in their division heading to Memphis to close it out. On Sunday, the Michigan Panthers and the New Orleans Breakers both looked for a way to get their seasons back on track. And for the moment, the Breakers did just that, coming out on top 24-20. But it was sort of a tale of 2 halves for the Breakers, as well as it's been a tale of 2 seasons. They rolled in the first half offensively, scoring 3 touchdowns. Second half, they were on shutdown, struggling to find the end zone as Michigan clawed their way back into their game. Even though they fell short, the Panthers must feel good about themselves heading into the last couple of weeks of the season, while the Breakers have to be scratching their heads and wondering exactly where their offense has gone. The Memphis Showboats visited Canton to take on the New Jersey Generals. 25-16, the W goes in favor of Memphis, who are streaking. 5 wins in a row now for the Showboats, and to me, the team to beat in the South, and it would not shock me if they took it all. For the Generals, it was a similar pattern to the rest of the year. They were in the game. They even had an early lead. They had opportunities, but too many turnovers were the Generals' undoing. The offense was not bad when it was on the field, but giving the ball away and not having any possession. Memphis at one point, 31-9, time of possession lead during that game. So for the Generals, it's get 2 wins and find their way in the playoffs, but another one of those unlikely scenarios similar to Pittsburgh. There are a couple of scenarios where teams can clinch playoff berths this week, starting with Philadelphia. They clinch with a win versus New Jersey. And should they win and Michigan win against Pittsburgh, then Michigan will be in as well. And then both spots will be clinched in the North. But get this, if Pittsburgh wins on Saturday against Michigan to kick off at the weekend, then no matter what happens in that Stars Generals game on Sunday, the Generals will still be alive while needing help, though, in week 10. In the South, things are a little clearer. The Stallions would clinch a berth. That would be their 7th win if they were to knock off Houston in Memphis this weekend. No one else in the South can clinch a playoff spot in week 9. For us to be sitting here on week 9 with the Generals on a 5-game slide, still alive and in control of their own destiny, is beyond anything anyone could have imagined. But the inability of anyone else in the North to string together wins, except for the Stars this late in the season, has left the door open for the Generals. The question is, can they step through that opening and make things happen today against the team that really set them on their slide? If you recall the last time out, the Stars were outgained and pretty much outplayed by the Generals, except for 4 turnovers. And they turned 8 Louis Aguiar field goals into a 24-21 win, beginning their climb to the top of the standings and sending the Generals to the bottom of the standings. This time around, it's a bit of a different story. The Stars have found themselves. They have protected Case Cookus. The offense is moving and they have found a running game. Despite Matt Colbert getting hurt last week, they were still able to balance out the offense. Defensively, they're still the Stars. They give up a lot of points. They give up a lot of yards, but somehow they seem to make a play that helps them win the ball game. For New Jersey, they're going to have to right every single one of the wrongs that has plagued them from weeks 1 through week 8 and play the perfect game. They did manage to cut down on the penalties, I think only 1 a week ago, but the turnovers were their undoing with 2 costly mistakes that helped contribute to their defeat against Memphis last week. Another problem that the Generals have faced all season long has been a lack of balance in the play calling. A year ago, they were a run-heavy team, using that to offset the pass and throw defense is off balance. This year, they have not been able to find that balance. Last week, only 15 rushing attempts, not enough to be able to control the ball. And Coach Riley admitted that at the end of the game, that was not a number he liked to see. But the circumstances of the game altered his game plan and his play calling a bit as New Jersey started to fall behind. One thing we have learned about this New Jersey team is that they're not really equipped to come from behind. Every time they have fallen behind an opponent, especially once it's become a 2-score game, that's been pretty much it. So their inability, again, to string drives together and then to close out the drives that they do manage to extend has contributed again to what has been a very disappointing season from a scoring output standpoint. Defensively for the Generals, it's a matter of just keep on doing what they've been doing. They're one of the top defenses in the league. Chris Orr is healthy again. Shalom Luani is healthy again. And if they just follow the game plan, which they executed against the Stars 4 weeks ago, they will be in this game late. The defensive backs have done an excellent job. Paris Ford has elevated his game. DJ Daniel has been a revelation this season, having another big interception a week ago. So all the pieces are in place for New Jersey to have a big game defensively and give themselves a chance late in this ballgame. The Generals' slide began against this Stars team, who conversely turned their season around that same week. And to talk about that turnaround is our guest from the Philadelphia Stars, Mr. Channing Stribling. Channing, welcome to Generally Speaking. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Doing well.
First of all, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. High hopes and everything, so I'm still feeling good, though.
So despite your injury last week, which looked very painful, just watching it on television and seeing you pull up the way you did, what's the mood like in the locker room there as your team has turned it around completely and positioned themselves for a clinching win this week?
I say it's the same as last year. Around this same time last year, you know, we went on a streak. I think we played Birmingham and came up short again. So, yeah, the spirits are high. The spirits are high. Expectation is still high.
The last time we spoke, it was the week of the New Jersey game, and we talked about how you guys were in this exact same position a year ago and that your experience and leadership would help carry you through what was a season-defining stretch at that point. And now here you are, sole possession of first place and in control of your own destiny.
Right, yeah. So the main thing was just trying to go 1-0 each week. First week was, you know, New Jersey. So main thing is just trying to win our division. And you know, we had an opponent that's basically kind of 1-2 in the South with New Orleans. That's kind of the statement win for us. We felt like we could beat them. We felt like, you know, if we could stop the passing, that was kind of a thing that we knew we could win if we stopped that. So I'm going in every game. We just figure out if we hone in on that, then we can win the game. So right now, leading North Division right now, we just got to execute every week.
You're facing a New Jersey team whose season is essentially on the line and will be fighting for their lives. You're familiar with their offense. You know essentially what they do. Tell me about what the game plan is, in a sense, heading into a game like this with an opponent that you're, A, familiar with, and B, with. Are the stakes heightened a little bit with it essentially being a playoff game?
Oh, definitely. Any division game we're playing is definitely going to be a heightened. Especially with New Jersey. But with their offense, you know, stop the run. Main thing is stop the run. Vito does a great job of just running the ball, scoring. If DeAndre plays, then, you know, that's another running option they have. So main thing is stop the run. Make them pass. If we make them pass, then we will do a good job. So that's main thing with New Jersey. We just, you know, keep that going on defense. You know, offense, just no turnovers, take quarterback and score. We've shown that we can score, go down the field, make plays. So yeah, as long as we kind of maintain those on both sides of the ball, and then execute on special teams, then we'll be good.
Talk about the calming presence of Bart Anderson, how he keeps you guys focused on the week to week tasks at hand rather than thinking too far ahead, Channing.
Yeah. Bart, he's cool, calm, collected. Anytime he talks, he's just real chill. So, he'll just give us his saying on, you know, what each week is meant. So now this week it's 1-0 again, division game. We win, secure our spot in the playoffs. And then, you know, he doesn't go ahead. And then the next week it'll probably be the same conversation. So just make sure that he keeps the same week. The main goal is to win, go 1-0.
There's never been a USFL playoffs without the Stars in it, Channing. So right. The way things are going now, you guys will be participating again this year.
Right. Yeah. We're going to keep tradition going. Just continue everything. Try to get it back to the Stars winning, you know, championship. So
good luck on your rehab and good luck to you and the Stars the rest of the way, Channing.
All right. Thank you.
Channing Stribling of the Philadelphia Stars joining us on Generally Speaking. When Generally Speaking returns, it's Toby time. Generals emotional and defensive leader Toby Johnson joins the show to talk about what the team needs to do to come out on top against the Stars in this do-or-die game in Canton tomorrow. You're listening to Generally Speaking on Fox Sports New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Welcome back to Generally Speaking, the New Jersey Generals pregame show for an all-important Week 9 on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris, and you know what time it is when we come back from break. It's Toby time. We welcome the Generals leader, Mr. Toby Johnson, to the show. Toby, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. If you would have told me before the season started that heading into Week 9, you'd have had your destiny in your own hands, you might have signed up for that, wouldn't you?
I would have liked to just go and got it out the way earlier, but you know, now it's time to see what guys made of. You know, it's big evaluation week, and I like to control my own destiny, so why not have it in this format?
This is a chance for the team to put behind them the last 8 weeks worth of frustration and seize the moment here and grab two wins and find yourselves in the playoffs. How have you guys been talking about that exact scenario? What's been the talk in the locker room?
You know, we kind of want to win games early, and each week we go out there to play. This week, you know, it have been that type of talk where, you know, is in our hands, and you know, guys looking forward to stepping up to the plate and, you know, being accountable, holding each other accountable. And I feel like we got a good chance to come out on top here today.
It's a familiar foe. You know the Stars well. The last time out, they got themselves right against you guys by winning that game, kicking 8 field goals. But the defense was great that day. You allowed no touchdowns, and almost all of those field goals were from distance. So do you carry the same sort of game plan into this week, Toby, or do you find something new on the film and make some adjustments too?
I think this week, you know, a lot of defense guys or whatever, even though we did give up 8 field goals or whatever, see a lot of defense guys taking initiative to get on them special teams and go in and try to pin them deep and make them, you know, earn those yards. You know, last time we played them, they start on, you know, their territory pretty much every time they kicked the ball, and vice versa. They was you know, coming down on the field, stopping us inside the 20 every time they got a chance. So they was flipping the field a good bit just with their special teams, and you know, the defensive guys on the side of the ball, guys just ready to go down and just put the game on our back.
Yeah, the Stars were operating with a short field on almost every single drive. I don't believe they started a drive inside their own territory, putting you guys with your backs against the wall, and you responded every time out. Hopefully the special teams can tighten up and give the Stars that longer field to work with and allowing you guys an opportunity to play some field position game two this time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We feel like, you know, we put the ball inside anywhere within the side of the 20 or the 30. We feel like can't nobody drive the whole field and score on us. If you look over the season, we probably had one touchdown this year that a team was able to just drive the ball the whole field and actually, you know, score on us without us beating ourselves or killing ourselves or blowing the assignment.
What's been the message from the coaching staff this week as you guys prepare for what's essentially a 2-week playoff tournament?
Just one game at a time. Everybody do their job, try to win a one-on-one individual battles. And if we do that, we feel like we should come out on top.
What's the team's mood been like in the locker room, Toby? You guys have suffered through 5 very disappointing losses. Each of them, you can make an argument that you could have won. How much of a toll does that take on you? Or does the fact that an opportunity presents itself to right all of those wrongs, does that kind of take the sting away a little?
To be honest, which I feel like we would have won all those games, we wouldn't be as focused as we is now. I feel like now, you know, as it then got do or die, like at the end, like a do or die game here coming up, I feel like guys are a lot more locked in this week. You know, it has got us closer. You know, you guys got to talking about, you know, they not wanting to go home, and you know, guys got a lot of situations back at home that they ain't looking forward to going back to. You know,
this kind of
like I just like a safe place for a lot of guys. And you know, now you see guys like a little more in tune with what's, you know, being where their feet are instead of trying to look down the line. So, you know, and you know, who wouldn't want to go out and earn a lot more money than, you know, the last 2 games? So, guys just ready to play, and you know. I try to reiterate here at practice all week that, you know, it's an evaluation period, not only for this team, but for, you know, the next year team. If you got plans on going playing the next level or coming back here next year, you know, you got to think about these type of things when they're getting ready to sign back next year. You know, these coaches going to be evaluating a lot more tougher than if they would have, if we would have been won early in the season. And, you know, the other team's going to be watching us too. So, you know, you don't want to leave a bad taste in these coaches' mouth, these GMs' mouth, and you know, you don't want to put no bad film out there for the NFL neither.
It's the last couple of chances for players to show up on some film, and it's coming down the last couple chances for the Generals to save their season, Toby. Thanks so much for coming on. We wish you a lot of luck as you guys prepare to face the Philadelphia Stars tomorrow in Canton.
Okay. Thank y'all for having me today.
Toby, thanks for coming on. We only got one more of these left unless you make the playoffs.
We will. So we got four more.
Toby Three Johnson more. Of the New Jersey Generals, he says we got four more. You know what that means. Make it five more. Why not?
Yeah.
Thanks, Toby. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, let's hear now from Generals linebacker Chris Orr, and then we'll hear from Generals offensive coordinator Steve Smith.
You know, we only got one choice and to win these last two games in order to make the playoffs, so this team is hungry. What we need to do is, you know, not turn the ball over offensively. That's what hurt us last time. Defensively, keep playing stout and play a little better on special teams so we make them drive the long way instead of give them a good field position.
And then this is from Fox Sports in New Jersey. Despite the struggles of the last few weeks, you still control your own destiny in securing a playoff spot. Talk for a minute about those ups and downs as well as the opportunity that still lies ahead for them.
Yeah, it's always a chance at the end. You know, you've seen it in several other leagues where things happen that way. But the one thing about us, I think as long as we keep our head down and keep focused on what we got to get done, I think we just what we just need to do is focus on what we can handle and what we can control and just get this one first for Philly, and then we'll worry about Pittsburgh next week.
You heard Chris Orr, you heard Toby Johnson, and you heard offensive coordinator Steve Smith. The recipe for victory is simple for the Generals. Don't turn the ball over, play stout defense, cut out the penalties, and have a solid day special teams-wise, especially the special teams part of the formula. That was the one factor that really cost the Generals that game a few weeks ago against the Stars. So if all of those things, and we have been saying this for 4 or 5 weeks now, and these are mighty big ifs at this point, if all of those things can fall into place, we could see the Generals playing a meaningful game next week against Pittsburgh. We are at that stage of the show where we get you ready for the rest of the Week 9 action, and it's going to be action-packed. Let's bring in Luke Miller from the Pro Football Newsroom to help us sort it out, if that's even possible, Luke.
Yeah, excited to be here. It's tough to know what's going to happen because there's still about a million scenarios with only 2 weeks to play.
It kicks off at noon today on Fox. No games on cable this week, all on network, by the way, with the Panthers visiting the Maulers in Canton. If Michigan wins, it sets them up to get into the playoffs. But if the Maulers happen to pull this out, it throws a monkey wrench to the entire North playoff race, Luke.
Yeah, it should be a great game. The Maulers pulled it out the first time these two teams played, but the Panthers have been playing better over the last couple of weeks. Even though they lost last week, there was a lot of good things to build on. And the playoffs are really starting now for these teams. So you know they're going to leave it all on the field.
For the Maulers, it's a matter of just finding a way to close out a game. Once again, last week, they had an opportunity to take the lead late, and it slipped away from them. Meanwhile, for the Panthers, if they can figure out how to manage some timeouts in a late-game situation, they might actually win a game.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be demoralizing for the Maulers to have been up 16-6 going into the fourth and end up losing that game, especially as strong as their defense is. The good news for them, again, is they still control their own destiny, so they've got a lot to play for. And the Panthers, you know, they're one of the teams that has just been so inconsistent this year. They've looked so good at times, and they've had such great plays on both sides of the ball, but then they also have had other moments that just leave you scratching your head wondering what in the world is going on.
And that comes from an on-the-field decision-making standpoint as well as a play-calling standpoint. Just a lot of what the Panthers have done this year, even roster decision-making, has been left open to questioning. And for the Maulers, it's just a matter of finding the end zone one time more than they normally have, and they might find a way to stay alive in this playoff race heading into Week 10. The second game on Saturday takes place in Memphis. It's the Breakers, who found a way to salvage their season against the Showboats, who are on a 5-game win streak, Luke.
Yeah, the Showboats, it's hard to imagine how they could get any hotter the way they're playing right now. Their defense is playing lights out. Offensively, Cole Kelly is kind of commanding the offense very well. Kareth White has come on as a very strong running back the last few weeks. And outside on the edge with Derek Dillon at receiver, one of the best weapons in the league, if they just put the ball in his hand, something magical happens each week. So they're playing about as hot as you can right now as a team.
The Breakers, in the meantime, while winning last week against Michigan, had a game that I felt was sort of a microcosm of their entire season. A hot first half and then a second half where they were trying to figure out who they even are.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with that. They have had moments as a team as in the season and in their last game where they looked almost unstoppable, but then they turn right around and look very, very beatable by turning the ball over, not being able to finish drives, not being able to score in the red zone, giving up touchdowns. So it's just a question of, can they play a complete game? If they can, they can beat anyone in this league. But if they don't, then they're certainly vulnerable to losing.
I feel like this game is very similar to the Stallions Breakers game, which both teams ended in scoring in the low 20s. This sets itself up to be kind of a similar game, Luke.
Yeah, I think so. The Showboats defense, the way they've been playing, I don't think they're going to give up a lot of points. But on the other side of the ball, the Breakers, they have a lot to play for this week too, and their defense always brings a lot of juice and energy, and I know they will this week again. So it should be a dogfight for sure.
It's going to take 28 points to win this game, a threshold the Breakers have not seen in over a month.
Yeah, their offense has left a lot to be desired the last few weeks, and so we're going to have to see if they can finally kind of hit their stride with only a couple weeks to figure it out.
Going to be a raucous crowd in Memphis. On Sunday, the opening game's at 2 o'clock. It's on NBC, and it is the Stallions and the Gamblers, both teams coming off a win. It's the 6-2 Birmingham team versus the 5-3 team from Houston. Something's got to give here, Luke.
Yeah, if you weren't planning on it, I would definitely set your DVR to watch this one because these two teams are definitely going to be bringing it. Houston has a lot to play for. They're one game back from Birmingham in the South Division standings and want to do what they can to help clinch a playoff berth. The Stallions are looking for revenge as Houston is one of the only teams to have beaten them this season and the only team to have beaten them last year. And so the Stallions are looking to prove that they are not going to be dominated by Houston twice in one season, and they want to lock up a playoff spot themselves.
Right. A win this week gets Birmingham in, while the Gamblers are looking to force a tie with picking up a win this week. It's been the Mark Thompson Show. Kenji Bahar had a nice game last week, and you got to love that touchdown grab by Kiki Chisholm, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Their offense has all kinds of weapons, maybe one of the best weapons in the league in the backfield. And so the Stallions' defense certainly has their work cut out for them. They're going to have to put in some extra time this week preparing, because otherwise the Gamblers' offense is certainly capable of putting up a lot of points against the Stallions' defense that at times has been porous this season.
The South Division Championship will be decided in Memphis, and it all starts this week in Week 9. Luke, enjoy these wild, but will be wild games, and we will speak to you in a week.
Sounds great. Will do.
Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom. That's it for this week's edition of Generally Speaking. We are back next week on Saturday, 9 a.m. for the regular season finale. I can't believe that I just said that, as the Generals prepare for their Saturday game next week against the Pittsburgh Maulers, possibly with a playoff berth on the line. We shall see. Enjoy the games this week, everybody. We'll see you.